At Soyco. Everything is on demand now. But there's something about that appointment watching of HBO that's still there.
At Soyco. It's also called the art of the tease. And that's how they get you.
I'm trying to think, what's my tease for tomorrow?
At Soyco. Kristen sets herself on fire. Tune in at 11:20, and then we'll tell you why.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin. I would set myself on fire right now. I'm very cold. I did not
wear... Are you chilly?
I'm chilly. I either need to turn the heat up or...
I got a shawl over there.
All right, I'll take your shawl at
the
next break. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. To the noon hour. Thank you for joining us on your lunch hour. As always, you are welcome to join the conversation at 844-967-2789. Yes, that is 844-96-PARTY. And how do you feel about Amazon owning doctor's offices?
This makes me uncomfortable.
I don't know how I feel about it either, because it feels like in the we talk about the privatization of healthcare. This really feels like the epitome of it, of Amazon, the king of undercutting
everything,
the competition.
Mm-hmm.
And then once they have you, they can start raising the prices. Once they put everyone else out of business, they can kind of start to do what they want. Has entered the medical field. And this stood out to me because for years, I was a patient of One Medical. So One Medical is I don't even know how to describe it now. Almost as soon as I moved to San Francisco after I graduated from college, that was my first doctor. And through moving from San Francisco to New York to LA, it was really convenient because it was all one system. And they had offices in almost every major city. I'm pretty sure they're in Chicago. And you never really had to change doctors because you never had to change entirely. Like, you could just go into the One Medical system. And even though I was in a new city, they still had my insurance, or like I could. There was one time I was living in San Francisco, but I was in New York on a trip and I needed to see a doctor pretty urgently. And instead of going to urgent care, I could go to the One Medical office there and I was seen immediately because you pay a membership. Like,
okay.
It's obviously the cost of whatever your visit is or the tests that need to get done. But it's also, I think at the time when I joined, maybe it was $150, $200. And what you get from that is you get like telehealth. And this was way before the pandemic. You can make an appointment for all your general care, primary physician type stuff, basically within the week. You could almost always see, if it wasn't your person, it could be a nurse practitioner, or you could see someone basically within a couple of days instead of the long waiting list.
Sure.
In a lot of ways, it was great. And once I got to Milwaukee, I was a little bummed that there wasn't one here because it was so convenient. So now, as of this week, Amazon closes its $3.9 billion deal to acquire One Medical. And so they, like I said, they provide 24/7 access to on-demand virtual health services, same-day appointments. They have 125 different offices. And this was back in last July that Amazon announced plans to buy One Medical. And I think there was concerns as if there was going to be any challenges to the deal.
Right.
But the FTC said it wouldn't challenge the deal, and now the merger marks a giant leap for the healthcare industry for Amazon.
Paging Dr. Bezos.
And it's Amazon's stock went up 2% this week, right after the deal went through. And I understand that potentially it could be more convenient, but it feels weird to have. I mean, because it was something, it was an organization I feel like I held in high regard. Like every doctor I ever saw there, I really liked. I could, you know, in the conversations we had, they really liked working there. And it just feels like something that's like the consolidation and getting sucked into that universe that I don't know why I don't like it. I just don't like it.
Well, typically when something like this happens, they are going to want to maximize their profits. And so you have to wonder what is going to suffer so they can continue to make money.
Yeah. And, you know, it's they're from the Amazon side. It's they can now get healthcare, groceries, medication, and basically every costume you ever want. Like, you know, it's your first stop whenever you need something in 2 days.
Right.
I'm guilty of it. You go to Amazon. And their hope with this merger, at least with their PR stated hope, is that they can make healthcare more convenient for everyone. And sure, I mean, with this, does it come to Milwaukee? Does it go to kind of like the next tier down of populous cities versus the major ones? Because I'm pretty sure if I looked it up, it's LA, San Francisco, New York, Chicago,
majors,
Atlanta,
yeah.
Seattle, you know, like all the like the top probably 20 cities. And so does this, because there's more capital, does it mean there can be more offices on this system? Because it was convenient. It was like what they had created was incredibly convenient. But the FTC is, even though they're not stopping challenging the deal, said that they're a little worried about Amazon's access to sensitive consumer health information.
Yeah.
And maybe why that could be used to target advertising toward people. And so they're going to continue to, I guess they are going to continue to investigate the acquisition to make sure no antitrust laws are broken. But I mean, obviously the healthcare industry is a lucrative one, I think, right? Insurance companies sure to seem to be making a lot of money.
Yeah, I think they're okay.
And so it's happening, but it feels ick.
Well, and I just remember back in the day, monopolies used to be bad.
I know.
Monopolies were great for the company, not good for the consumers. And it just,
and also not good for other companies.
Without a doubt.
Right? As far as the ability to
Competition
and start a company and have act. I mean, this is our antitrust laws are not strong. From what I understand right now, there is not the argument for whether it's, you know, Facebook and or even, you know, even Apple and their app store, right? Is like they control who can even put their app on there.
Yep.
And its ranking and everything like that. And the Live Nation and just the amount of companies. I also think about when you go to the grocery store. And basically everything you see in the grocery store is owned by like five different companies.
Yep. Well, look at what happened with the baby formula thing.
Yep.
But there's three companies that make it.
I mean, it's also how our media companies are. Not this one. But
right. But most. Many, most, yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, I would be totally honest if they did pop up a One Medical in Milwaukee and they took my insurance. Unless it had changed fundamentally, like if there's something to the service that I used to have that would make it feel like, oh, this is not as good or whatever, maybe then I wouldn't go, but I would at least check it out because it was nice. It was really nice.
So do doctors sign up to be part of this One Medical?
Yeah, that's your employer then. So instead of working at like a hospital or like a different doctor's office or whatever, like your employer is One Medical.
Okay.
And so it'll be interesting to watch to see how they, what they do with the company. Now, $3.9 billion. I had no idea it was worth that much.
Well, and again, that makes me wonder about what changes they're going to make so they can get that $3.9 billion back plus. Because they're not doing this out of the, let me rephrase that. I'm sure they are doing this out of the goodness of their hearts.
They're trying to make healthcare more convenient,
for the
Jane.
Benefit of the American people. I know, but somewhere I just have this twinge that there might be a profit motive involved.
But that actually is interesting, because now, I mean, I'm not going to do it on air because we have to keep talking. But to think about if that was close, because it was a private company, it wasn't like the amount of money they were making was public. And so to think about how much money One Medical with 125 offices was making in a year, I don't know, maybe it was $3.9 billion. That seems unlikely.
It seems unlikely.
Seems unlikely, because I feel like the extent of the services, they weren't doing surgeries. It was like women's health. So you could get like pap smears and stuff like that done there. And then it was like generally your first stop for trying to figure out what was wrong with you. And then if it was something simple that they could give you a prescription for, great. Otherwise, they would then refer you to somebody, a specialist.
Okay.
And so isn't the money in the specialties?
Yes.
Right? And so it's like it's
general practice. I never thought. And if you want to get money, that's not what you go into.
And maybe it's because it's the membership, like the annual membership, that is the guaranteed money that comes in. Or, I don't know. I'm so curious of why it was worth that much money. But to be continued, would you join if they had one here? Does it sound appealing to you?
I would have to learn more.
Okay.
And the idea of Dr. Bezos having some of my personal health information makes me queasy.
I mean, you don't think he already has it?
Probably. But do I just have to give it to him?
Just like, no, just like roll him, over and just, be like, fine,
make him
here.
Just make him work for it a little bit.
To pay for it from someone else, like Walgreens?
Fine.
All right, when we come back, the weekly headline quiz. Let's see how we do. Play along. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin, a product of Civic Media. Enjoy it live across Wisconsin, Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Find your local station on our website, civicmedia.us, or on the Civic Media app, and catch any of your favorite shows as a podcast wherever you listen.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. And this heat's still not on.
Are you still cold?
I'm still cold. I forgot to come get the shawl and the break.
Well, we'll get it for you.
We'll get in the next one. Coming up in the next segment, State Senator Kelda Royce is going to be here, which is the first time we've had her on the show.
Yeah.
And so I have a fun story. I've only ever, we'll call it met. I have a very fun story that I'm going to kick off the beginning of the interview with, as far as when we met, how that happened.
Okay, and how you crossed paths.
How we crossed paths at the Capitol once, because it's pretty funny. And so, but she's here to talk also about something we've been wanting to talk about but have not gotten around to it yet, because I was under the impression that the ruling was going to come down last week or this week, but there is a Trump-appointed federal judge who basically the fate of the FDA approved abortion pill, or one of the two that you usually take,
right,
is going to decide the fate of it. It's been approved. It was approved by the FDA 20 years ago. And the same group that was behind those Jesus ads for the Super Bowl.
Oh, the Hobby Lobby guy.
Yes, him and others. Is behind the lawsuit that inevitably, and this is what we'll talk about with Senator Royce, will probably end up with this U.S. Supreme Court, but they're trying to overturn the FDA's approval. So we'll talk to her about what that means, because this would affect people even in states where abortion is legal, which obviously in Wisconsin right now it is not. So we'll discuss that. And on the lighter side, we will also discuss the new bipartisan bill that would allow retailers to deliver liquor to your doorstep. Because what is more Wisconsin than that?
Because we're not drinking enough.
So that's coming up at the in the next segment at 12:30. So stick around for that. But for now, let's see how closely we paid attention to the news this week.
All right,
Jane. All right. Number one. So this is where we go through different stories and see if we can find the right answer.
Okay.
Just news from this week. All right. Number one, which music service launched an AI host called DJ? A, Amazon Music, B, Apple Music, C, SiriusXM, D, Spotify.
I have no idea. I'll go with Spotify.
Good guess.
Is it?
Yeah. All right.
So you know this one.
Well, I kind of cheat, I have to admit. So if I have time, I would like to start making this quiz based on Wisconsin headlines. Currently, I do not have time. But I would love to do this for us. Right now, we get this quiz from Morning Brew, which is a daily newsletter, email newsletter that I read, and that's where I get. It's a very good, that 1440, the Daily Skim, a couple others. As far as national news.
Good aggregators.
Yeah, of good aggregators of stuff that I read that gives me ideas of stuff for us to talk about in the show. So I kind of cheat in that, like, I do read it every single morning, and the quiz is based off their newsletter. So,
okay.
Yes. But we'll come back to
good
the Spotify
thing there's
story.
Not a cash prize involved.
I know. Well, you know how if there was, I wouldn't tell you.
Yeah, right.
I wouldn't have just admitted that I'm cheating. We already have established how competitive I am. All right, number two. In an apparent response to President Biden's criticism, United Airlines will make it easier for passengers to do what? A, change travel plans. B, redeem frequent flyer miles. C, sit with their children. D, bring pets on board.
It's C.
It's C.
What a radical thing to allow parents to sit next to their children and not making them pay extra for it. What's happening?
Which late author's publisher is editing some of his books for children to remove potentially offensive language? A, Roald Dahl. B, Dr. Seuss. C, Marie Sendek. D, C.S. Lewis.
It is Mr. Dahl.
It is Mr. Dahl.
And apparently, now they're going to publish both versions. They're going to publish a, guys, just saw that this morning. They will do a more sanitized version and then the regular version of his books. So now they can just make twice as much money. And
yeah.
His books haven't gotten as much attention since when?
Oh, I mean, love Roald Dahl books and stories.
But it certainly has gotten his name back in there. And
you don't think they're still read in elementary schools? My Aunt Linda, who was a fourth grade teacher forever, that was one of her favorites. I feel like her class always read like BFG and... I wonder how many elementary schools are still reading his books.
Well, I wouldn't go to Florida. I don't think they use books anymore. Just saying.
Moving on. Kay. All right. What happened to the dignity index, Jane?
That wasn't mean. That wasn't mean. It was a statement of fact-ish.
Oh, all right. Number four, Starbucks. Oh, we already talked about this one. Starbucks is introducing a line of coffee drinks featuring what new ingredient?
Olive oil.
Yep. Your other options would have been egg yolks, which is something.
Ooh.
Butter, which you actually said sounds good.
The
bulletproof coffee.
Bulletproof coffee, yeah.
Or what I would prefer, whiskey. But no, it's B, olive oil. All right, last one. Tesla announced its engineering headquarters will be located in which state? Washington, Texas, California, New York.
Oh, yeah. He's moving back to California.
Moving back to California.
That is hilarious.
Potentially, is it because that's where most of the engineers are? I didn't hear the reason why he's, but I do know that there was some joint press conference with Gavin Newsom.
Oh.
Which I'm sure just pained him.
Gavin's kind of, he's got a oily vibe.
Oily?
Oily.
All right.
I mean that in the nicest way.
I know. All right. We got 5 out of 5 correct. Spotify launched an AI feature named DJ. United will make it easier for passengers to sit with their children. Roald Dahl's publisher is editing some of his books. Starbucks plans to introduce a line of olive oil coffee drinks. And Tesla will base its engineering HQ in California. All right. When we come back, State Senator Kelda Royce will be here. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair. And we are joined by State Senator Kelda Royce this whole half hour. And Kelda, do you remember? I think it's the only time we've actually met in person.
Yeah, I did a little bit of a fangirl moment. I was like, everything. And I was like, oh my God, As Goes Wisconsin.
So I was, this was spring 2021, I was filming a video and like walking around the Capitol, and all of a sudden I just hear "As Goes Wisconsin," and I turn around and it's Kelda. And I think you were in a minivan.
I was from, like, in a dirty minivan.
I was like, "Oh, hi!"
Yeah, sorry about that.
No, it was great. It was great. It was. Now I get to tell it on the radio. And so it's great to see you again.
Yes, you too. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And so this is, it's interesting because I'm so happy you're here to talk about this, because I saw this headline for the last couple weeks, and I saw it was something I kept kind of waiting for the ruling to come down for us to talk about it, because I knew that it was pending. But as far as I understand it, so right now there is a anti-abortion group that is, through the appeal process, has made it to a Trump-appointed federal judge in Texas, who now it's in this person's hands whether or not mifepristone, which is one of the two pills that people can take for to induce an abortion, is now, despite being approved by the FDA for the last two decades, could just go bye-bye. Is that kind of the scenario?
Yeah, basically the, this anti-choice religious legal group is challenging the FDA's decision almost a quarter century ago to approve mifepristone, which is one of the two most commonly used medications in a medication abortion. So there are different regimens. You can do a medication abortion using only misoprostol, which is Cytotec. That's an ulcer medication that in a lot of places is over the counter. It's very cheap. This is how many abortions are done throughout the world. But in the U.S., we've traditionally been using the two medication regimen that includes mifepristone. So this is scary because obviously about half the abortions in this country are done via medication abortion rather than surgical. With Roe gone, the need is even greater. And so this is going to not only affect women in states like Wisconsin, where abortion is unavailable, but also in blue states that thought that their abortion rights were secure.
And isn't this right on the heels of it just becoming over the counter? Basically, wasn't it just even like just a month ago where...
I wish.
Because I felt like we talked about that somewhat recently, where instead of having to go to a doctor... As long as you had, you still needed a prescription. So, sorry, not over the counter, but you could get it from a pharmacy instead of having to get the actual pills from a doctor. That happened recently, right?
Right. So, yeah, the FDA had basically, there is frankly no medical or scientific reason why medication abortion shouldn't be over the counter. It is, as I mentioned, in other places, and you know, from a safety perspective, it should be over the counter. But the FDA finally removed some of its politically motivated restrictions on medication abortion and basically allowed it to be more widely stocked in pharmacies so that you could just go pick it up in a pharmacy in a state where that's legal. Now, there's an open question as to whether states are allowed to actually add additional hurdles on getting medication that's been approved by the FDA. Like if the FDA says something can be over the counter or something can be prescribed by telemedicine, are states allowed to impose additional restrictions on that? So that's a different kind of pending question. But yeah, this is very scary. But the good news is it gives us a chance to talk about medication abortion and educate people, because we know we can't leave our own reproductive health in the hands of politicians and nor the medical profession. This is something that we all have an individual and a collective community responsibility to make sure that people know that they can get medication abortion online anywhere in the country. There's a great nonprofit called Aid Access that will ship it to you. And it costs about $100, but if you can't afford it, they'll ship it to you anyway. And I think it's really important for people to know that, especially right now as we're looking down the barrel at this very scary ruling.
Because one of the things, I think I read this in Jezebel, was there is also providers who are prepared to go off-label. And so is that another option as far as if in the, I guess in the worst case scenario, I guess for the three of us, as our opinion of this, obviously other people's best case scenario might be our worst case scenario, of this federal judge ruling that the FDA overstepped or shouldn't be approved, that I'm assuming this goes, there was likely would try to be appealed to this U.S. Supreme Court.
Right. Yeah, it'll go to the Fifth Circuit, which is probably the worst one. I mean, you know, there's a reason that these anti-choice legal groups are cherry picking their judges and their circuits because they know how they want it to travel. You know, because, you know, most judges would look at this and be like, hey, this is one of the safest medications out there. It's actually safer than Tylenol, safer than Viagra, way safer than childbirth. You know, and they wouldn't have a leg to stand on. So they needed to find a judge that was basically compromised. And they found it in this, you know, ultra MAGA Trump guy.
Our guest is State Senator Kelda Royce for the next half hour. Kelda, I find this so frustrating because it is a religious group that is pursuing this. I assume some of them are doctors of theology, but none of them are medical doctors.
Well, you know, there are even doctors who are anti-choice, right? Mm-hmm. People come in all shapes and sizes. But I think the point is we don't get to impose our religious values on anybody else. And we certainly should not be using our laws to enshrine one specific religious ideology that then everybody else has to adhere to. And, you know, it's hard for me to imagine how it makes someone feel good about their faith if it's compulsory, you know, like patriotism is not sincere if it's coerced. The same is true, I think, for religion. So trying to force people to adhere to one narrow religious ideology is un-American and totally ineffective.
And so with this, because right now this is not something that really, at least through a doctor, a pill that we can get in Wisconsin anyways.
Well, we can through Aid Access. And actually, we could, you know, up until Dobbs, absolutely, you could have gotten medication abortion. Now, in Wisconsin, abortion has been heavily regulated over the last 50 years. And so, you know, there were waiting periods and bias counseling and mandatory delay laws. And you had to actually get it from a physician in person. Again, none of which are important for medical reasons or for safety. These are all political restrictions to make it as difficult and burdensome to get an abortion as possible. But it was still possible to get it pre-Dobbs. So, and now you can get it, but you're not going to probably be able to get it from a Wisconsin physician unless they're willing to, you know, put themselves potentially on the line for some rogue prosecutor to go after them. I mean, I don't believe the 1849 law is enforceable. I think it's both unconstitutional and also unenforceable. But, you know, you're asking somebody to take a pretty big leap of faith. And, you know, doctors are traditionally risk averse, right? They want to do things by the book. But Dr. Rebecca Gompertz has just been an incredible pioneer in abortion access. She founded the Women on Waves ships that would go into Ireland and places where abortion was illegal, bring women out into international waters, provide them with abortion services, and then take them back. And now with Aid Access, she has been providing medication abortion all over the world in places where it's illegal to women in really desperate situations all over the world. And helping them access medication abortion. And now she's unfortunately having to do that here in the United States and including in Wisconsin.
Including Wisconsin. And so as someone who works in the Capitol and, you know, we just got through a very important election on Tuesday. And Jane and I both heard on different radio stations conversations about how much abortion is going to play a role in the upcoming Supreme Court general election. But even before that, because I do want to talk about that, but in the Capitol right now, are there any discussions happening of trying to get ahead of the bit, like of the election and finding some compromise through lawmakers? Is that happening? I know sometimes we hear we hear from Governor Evers, we hear from Robin Voss, but are there actual conversations happening?
You know, unfortunately, on an issue like abortion, people are pretty much set in their ways. And because, you know, the Republican Party has kind of created a problem for themselves with gerrymandering. The 1849 ban is totally unpopular, right?
Yes.
Something like 90% of Wisconsinites don't support it. And yet they are beholden, and Dan Kelly, the Republican running for Supreme Court justice, are beholden to a group that actually wants to remove the life of the woman exception. You know, this tiny little narrow exception that doesn't really work for anyone. They want to actually take that out of the 1849 ban. Because of gerrymandering, they have, you know, the Republican members that are elected are just so extreme. They're so far out of the mainstream that they can't even really have a reasonable discussion about how abortion should be regulated, because they want it to be a crime for everyone. They would like to see women and doctors both punished. They would like to see IVF and birth control banned. And, you know, they're not stopping at... you know, just letting the 1849 law be decided by the Supreme Court. These guys are only going to be satisfied when abortion is a crime everywhere. And that's the scary part. So I don't think there's a lot of room for compromise. That said, the election on April 4th is going to change everything. And that's why it's just so important and so exciting that we have a chance to elect a justice who not only has a value that people should be able to decide for themselves, when and whether to bring a child into the world, and also believes in democracy and will give us the chance to have a legislature that's more reflective of the diversity of Wisconsin's people.
Absolutely. And so you've gone to law school. You practiced as a lawyer before becoming a state senator, correct?
I did, yeah.
Yes. And so
A little bit.
So as far as just before we go to break, remind us what the cases that would end up going in front of the Supreme Court, as far as, because it's not like Janet Protasiewicz all of a sudden gets on the Supreme Court and it's just going to happen, right? Because it's people, we keep saying abortion's on the ballot, abortion's on the ballot. But there is a lawsuit that Josh Call and Governor Evers have filed. So can you refresh us on what the case is that could end up, will likely end up in front of the Supreme Court, that is why abortion is on the ballot?
Sure. So Wisconsin has this really archaic 1849 law that outlaws virtually all abortions. Attorney General Josh Call, after Dobbs came down, filed a lawsuit right away with Governor Evers, basically saying, hey, this 1849 law is not enforceable. And that's because, a number of reasons, but abortion has been heavily regulated over the last 50 years. And you can't have something that's both a crime and also regulated activity. it would be like saying, well, you're not allowed to rob banks, but if you do it on Tuesday morning and you wear green, then that's okay. It's either a crime or it's something that's a regulated or acceptable activity. So that's one reason. And the other thing is that even before Roe versus Wade came down in 1973, this ban was not enforced, right? There weren't prosecutors hunting people down in the 60s and 70s before Roe, prosecuting them for abortion. So, people would be surprised. We have a lot of statutes that really are not enforced anymore. I mean, there's a law against adultery. So
there's a state law against adultery?
There is, yeah. I mean,
remind my husband
their famous law about not being allowed to sell margarine in Wisconsin, right? Yes. So we've had a lot of laws that have sort of come in and out of favor, and you know, usually they stop being enforced long before they're removed from the books. But the anti-choice movement fought very, very hard to keep this law on the books because they were waiting for this day. And they wanted to throw things into chaos and make it as hard for people to access abortion as they could. And so now the Supreme Court, it's in the local court, right? It's in the circuit court, and then it will be appealed regardless of this decision, I'm sure. And then eventually it will go up to the United States, to the state Supreme Court, where whoever the new justice is will have the opportunity to either follow very basic rules of statutory construction and say, yeah, the 1849 law is not enforceable, or put us back into the 1800s for good.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we have to take a break quickly, but when we come back, State Senator Kelly Royce will still be here. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. We are joined by State Senator Kelly Royce, and we are talking about the state of abortion access in our state, which we all know what it is right now, what it could be if you vote on April 4th, but also potentially when it comes to the abortion pill, what is happening nationally. And so just to wrap up that conversation, Senator, what would you like people to know as far as this looming lawsuit and future, but also kind of our access to or ability to get pills?
Yeah. So I want everybody to do two things. You're going to go to your browser and type in aidaccess.org, aidaccess.org. You're going to order an advance prescription for medication abortion. Costs about $100, but if you don't have it, they'll ship it anyway. You want to make sure that this is medication you have on hand when you need it. You don't want to have to wait a couple of weeks. You don't have to want to worry that it's not going to be available. Have it on hand in advance. And then you're going to mark your calendar for April 4th and vote for Judge Janet Protasiewicz. And then you'll be covered in any circumstance.
Absolutely. All right. Were you surprised by Tuesday's results?
I mean, I just thought she knocked it out of the park. I was an early supporter of hers because I thought she was an incredible candidate. And as a lawyer, I really want the best Supreme Court we can have. And it was just clear that she had the experience that we need. But it was really great to see that people are fed up with what's happening in the state and they understand the stakes.
Yeah.
Senator, were you surprised by how surprised some people were by these results? Because I find that mind-blowing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's easy to live in a bubble when you're very, very much paying attention to politics and you're thinking about it all the time. You know, most people are just trying to live their lives. But I think what it was demonstrating was that way more people are paying attention right now than we would have anticipated. And I think that's good, but we are going to need to, you know, way more than double it for April. I mean, this is going to be probably the most consequential election that any of us are going to vote in terms of the future of our state.
And it's interesting because this is something I'm tussling with right now, is kind of the good or the bad as far as how much money is going to be spent. Because I think to a certain extent, there's those of us who are really trying to communicate the stakes and what's at stake. And I do think that means a lot, but you can't get away from the fact that the correlation between how much money, which thus means how many ads, and if that's part of the reason why turnout is going to be high, was high on Tuesday and could be high on April 4th, and which is important, but then sometimes it's a hard pill to swallow because you don't want outside money. And you like fundamentally, idealistically, you don't want that much money infused to our politics. And yet, Is it inescapable to also understand that it kind of drives turnout?
Well, it does. I mean, think about it. You know, you're a busy person. You're working. You're picking up your kids. if people who are not eating and breathing politics all the time, especially for a spring election, which is not when you normally think of voting, people do need to be reminded about it. And one of the ways that people know that there's an election is that they see those ads. You know, they're at the dentist or whatever, they're opening the paper, they're playing the radio. That's how they're going to learn about the fact that elections are happening and the issues that are at stake. And I wish it wasn't that way. I mean, I wish we still had, you know, a much more robust infrastructure for local journalism. I mean, I love what you're doing because I feel like we have to deliver information to people in ways that's interesting and creative and fun, but also accurate. And it's so important to counterbalance all the propaganda and attempts to influence people from the right. But, you know, however people find their information, however they get to the polls, as long as they do it, that's what matters at the end. And we have to probably spend decades fixing the structural problems with how we get information to voters.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, I wanted to end on this because it's simultaneously, we always want to applaud whenever there's bipartisan proposals and legislation. And also it is quintessentially Wisconsin because it does have to do with drinking.
Yes.
And so you are one of the authors of a new bill that would allow retailers to deliver booze.
Yes.
So tell us more about that.
Yeah. So this this is a follow-up from the only bill that my name was on last session that actually passed, the Cocktails to Go bill. The idea is that this would allow your local wine store to deliver wine to you for your Thanksgiving dinner, or when you're going up to pick your groceries, you could also get that six pack or a bottle of wine along with your Cheerios in like curbside pickup. what's crazy is that, you know, you can go anywhere online and have alcohol shipped to you from out of state, but Wisconsin wine stores or breweries, like, they can't do that. So we're trying to modernize our alcohol laws. We're actually one of only 8 states that doesn't allow this right now. And it's crazy because it's disadvantaging our own businesses and making it harder for Wisconsinites to, you know, have the convenience of being able to do curbside pickup.
That is kind of wild because I remember when I lived in New York, there was an app that obviously it was like, it was basically like Uber Eats, but for booze, and they would pick it up from your local, like they were the delivery service, but they could pick it up from your local wine store. And so if there was like a blizzard and you're like, I'm not going out to the bodega, and they could bring you something. And I realized that when I got here and the Cocktail to Go bill, realizing that for as much as people enjoy their alcohol here, that wasn't a thing here. And so what was the process? Because it is bipartisan. And so like working on this together, who kind of was like the initiator of it all?
So, you know, we actually had introduced these bills as 2 separate bills in the last session, along with the Cocktails to Go. And the idea was, you know, for me, it was really about public safety and helping consumers get what they need. And also helping, you know, I'd way rather join a Wine of the Month club for my local wine shop than from, you know, some vineyard that I've, you know, out in California that I don't, you know, doesn't invest in our community. And I think for my Republican counterpart, Senator Strobel, he is more interested in sort of streamlining the regulations and saying, why do we have all this unnecessary red tape? You know, we want to have a free market. And so we had a meeting of the minds about that. And it's been, you know, his office has been great to work with. And I'm hopeful that these bills are going to pass because I do think they're common sense. And the fact that the Tavern League is opposed to them, you know, actually I think it's a point in their favor, in my view. Sorry.
No, yeah. Say what you want. All right. State Senator Keller Royce, thank you so much for joining us today. This will be the first of many, I'm sure, but have a great weekend and we will talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, Kristen.
All right. When we come back from the top of the hour news, Matt Miller is back to talk about Cocaine Bear and other cultural points. Pop culture,
cultural
all the things.
Touchstones, all the things. Yes.
All right, this is As Goes Wisconsin.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to As Goes Wisconsin, available on Spotify, Apple, Google, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Please subscribe and leave us a rating. As Goes Wisconsin is a product of Civic Media and airs live across Wisconsin Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Civic Media is a statewide network of radio stations broadcasting local news, local sports, thoughtful commentary, and hand-picked music. We are always streaming on the Civic Media app. Find out where you can listen on the air or learn more about Civic Media and sponsorship opportunities by going to our website, civicmedia.us. We thank you for listening.